This morning, our scripture that we're going to be reading is from the book of Luke, chapter 24, verses 36 through 48. And while they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and he said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and they were frightened, thinking that they were seeing a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have." When he had said this, he showed them all his hands and his feet. And while they still did not believe it because of joy and amazement, he asked them, "Do you have anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and he ate it in their presence. And he said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Then he opened their minds so that they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written. The Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things." All right. Let's start at the beginning of this story. Disciples frightened. Jesus crucified. They don't know for sure that he's alive. They had such big plans. They had such great hope. They were expecting so much just to see it all dashed. Jesus placed on the cross. Jesus placed in the tomb. And now, some people are saying he's alive. And the disciples gather. And they're discussing this. Can it be true? Well, what does that mean? Well, where is he if he's alive? Can you imagine the discussion? But in their hearts was fear. In their hearts was deep despair. They did have such big plans. They thought for sure that Jesus was going to take over. Well, you know, that's what Johnny was saying this morning. You have to make sure that you're following God's will. Jesus tried to prepare his disciples. He tried to let them know he had to die. It was foretold. So what does he do when he comes back? He appears to them and they cannot believe it. You know, I think I'd be shocked if a person that I knew was dead and buried all of a sudden showed up in my room. My first thought would be, it's got to be a ghost. It's something evil. But this was not evil. This was God revealing himself and his plan. This was God bringing back hope. You see, so many times we despair because we lose sight of what we need to be hoping in. Because we've allowed the pressures of the world to make us lose sight. Think about when Jesus was with Mary and Martha. The one woman says, "To heck with it all," and sits down at Jesus' feet. The other woman says, "But we've got to feed all these people." Martha was losing sight of what was truly important. Because of all the pressure, she had a house full of guests. It was her responsibility to make sure that everyone was taken care of, that their feet were washed and there was food to eat and water to drink and on and on. And you got to get this stuff done. She lost sight of someone is here and we take time to be with them. Well, we had Grace and Faith coming and Katie this week. So what did we do? Last week, Linda made food and we put it in the freezer. When we go home today, we're going to have food that was already prepared. So, guess what? Linda doesn't have to be in the kitchen trying to get it together. Lana doesn't have to be in the kitchen trying to get it together. Gracie and Faith, we can sit down with each other and enjoy each other. You see, we've got to keep our eyes on what is truly the prize. The prize for you and I is to believe with expectation. Did you know that there are many words in the NIV that are translated the word hope? They're different Greek words. I went through and there are actually 83 times in the New Testament only that the word hope is used in the NIV translation. There are 49 times, and I don't know how to pronounce Hebrew real well, so I'm not even going to try, but E-L-P-I-S, which means hope with the desire of some good with expectation that is going to happen. Do you hear that? Hope, many times, 49 times in the New Testament, is the belief and the desire that something is going to happen, a good thing is going to happen. And that's what we're supposed to have in Christ. Then there's also the hope that we really would desire this. It's something to be desired, but we don't have the same expectation that it's going to happen. That was used 30 times in the New Testament. And I didn't go through all the rest of them. But I want us to recognize that these disciples were having to change their expectation. Sometimes we have to change our expectations. When God doesn't take us out of a bad situation, it's because, and this is what amazes me, and one of the things it says, tribulation bringeth about hope. God, did you get this right? Some of these scriptures I think we should just throw out, don't you? No, they're there for a reason. They're there for a reason. We don't get to pick and choose which ones we like and don't like. So when tribulation comes, say, okay, God, you're walking through this with me. I'm coming out on the other side sometime, even if it's in heaven. And look with hope for what we need to hope in. The fact that we're with our Lord. The fact that He will bring us to the other side. You know, it is so important to recognize that if we lose sight, despair deepens. I want you to think for a moment about times in your life that have been the hardest. It's hard not to despair. It's hard to recognize that God has a way for us to come through. It's hard to recognize sometimes what we need to do to get out of this mess. And we sit there and we struggle and we cry and we sometimes bemoan. And sometimes we are at despair. And I don't think there's a word that has any more of a description than despair. That it means that there is no hope. That's despair when you've lost it all. I know that this congregation knows for me the hardest time, the time that I struggled the most with despair was at my son's birth. When I was not sure that God was going to allow me to have that son. Sometimes we have to struggle because we don't necessarily want what we're not what God wants. We have one more baby I know of in heaven that Lana miscarried. I would have loved to have children. But for some reason, God said, Robert, you have two children. That's what you need. That's going to fulfill your life. And I tell you, they have been such a fulfillment in my life as a parent. Amen. I am so blessed. But you see, sometimes we lose hope. And God says, that's what you shouldn't lose, ever lose. Because you have to recognize that this world is not your home. You know, that hymn, so many times I remind myself, and it comes to mind when I catch myself thinking on the things of the world. Thinking on all the things that I would enjoy. But to be honest with you, God has fulfilled and over abundance of the things that I expected. When I dreamed of the house that I would have when I was this age, it was not the big home that I lived in. I was looking forward to a 3-bedroom ranch, and that was it. I never thought about having a garden tub. And the Lord gave me a garden tub. But what I'm saying is, if I start looking for those things for my hope, then I will quickly lose my hope. We need to recognize our hope is in the Lord for what we look forward to. And it goes on talking about hope over and over and how we have to hope in the Lord. So I hope this morning, and I have an expectation that each and every one of you is going to recognize that we need to sometimes change what our hope is, because it will lead to despair. And if it's not hope in the Lord and being exactly where He wants us to be, regardless of finances, regardless of health, of the house we live in, regardless of what's going on in the family, we are right where we are supposed to be because I am following Him. And then we can't have despair. That despair will be driven out by the hope. It's just the same way as when it's dark in a room and you turn on the light and it floods the whole room with light. Amen. That's what hope does for the Christian. It floods the whole life with light, God's light. Let us look forward to that and seek that. It obviously was important if He had put it in there so many times, 83 times in the New Testament, that He tells us to hope. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Heavenly Father, it is just a joy to know that we have hope in You, that we look forward to spending eternity with You in Your presence, and that the light will shine forth from our Savior, Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.